seeking the Lord's help this afternoon, I draw your attention to the first psalm that we read, Psalm 121. I hope to consider the whole of the psalm this afternoon, but I will read again now verses 1 and 2. Psalm 121, a song of degrees. I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. The title of this afternoon's sermon is Our Helper and Keeper. Our Helper and Keeper. Last Lord's Day afternoon, being the final Lord's Day afternoon of the year, we considered Psalm 115, verses 12 to 15, under the heading of God Will Bless. And in 115, verse 12, the Lord hath been mindful of us. He will bless us. He will bless the house of Israel. He will bless the house of Aaron. He will bless them that fear the Lord, both small and great. The Lord shall increase you more and more, you and your children. Ye are blessed of the Lord, which made heaven and earth. And that is something I hope that we can carry through into this new year as a promise to plead that God will bless us. That God will bless us individually, that he will bless us as a church and a congregation, and that God will bless each family represented here. Today, as the first Lord's Day afternoon of the new year, I felt led to speak and preach from this Psalm 121. And today our thoughts are directed upwards to our great God, which made heaven and earth. And it is a great truth that is brought forth from this psalm, that God is our helper and God is our keeper. But firstly, the first heading this afternoon, we have a song of degrees. You will notice, if you look at your Bibles, that psalms from Psalm 120 through to Psalm 134 all have the title, A Song of Degrees. One of them also adds a song of degrees for Solomon, and four of them have a song of degrees of David. Now, these psalm headings are part of the original Hebrew scriptures. They are part of God's word to us. And sadly, in the English language, early on, the tradition was to make them into a heading, which means that people usually forget to read them or ignore them. But when we read the psalms and there is a psalm heading, we should read it as part of the psalm, because it is all part of God's divine word to us. And it is especially helpful for us to understand that this Psalm 121 is a song of degrees, or a song of ascent. And it is believed that these 15 psalms termed a song of degrees were sung progressively by the pilgrims as they made their way to the holy city of Jerusalem to worship. The first one being Psalm 120, which would be sung once the pilgrims had gathered together to make the long ascent up the hill towards Jerusalem. And you'll see that it is a psalm which speaks of the need of God's help to deliver against the enemies of God's people. And this 121st psalm is a song of degrees that was sung on the road upwards to Jerusalem. And there was, in that sense, a lifting up of the eyes to the hills around Jerusalem. Those of us who have been privileged to go to Israel know that from whichever side you approach the city of Jerusalem, you have to go from lower ground to higher ground. And so there was a physical sense that people singing this Psalm 121 on their way to worship in Jerusalem were physically looking up for that first glimpse of Jerusalem. In the next Psalm, Psalm 122, in verse 2, it says, "Our feet shall stand within thy gates, O Jerusalem." And it is believed that once they had reached the outer limits of the city and the first gate into Jerusalem, this 122nd Psalm would be sung. And then by the time you get to Psalm 133, you can see that they are already now worshipping God, and they are seeing the high priest, God's high priest, anointed with the precious ointment in Psalm 133. And then the final one, Psalm 134, it is a prayer for God to bless his people as they stand in his sanctuary. So that is the setting and the use of the psalm, a song of degrees. But then secondly, they were looking up to God for help. And they were looking up, yes, to the holy hill of Zion, looking for that first glimpse of the gleaming temple of Solomon as they went to worship. But they were, of course, looking beyond the natural hills of Jerusalem. And they were looking beyond those natural hills, and they were looking up to heaven. We read Psalm 123, and that perhaps gives us a helpful sidelight on Psalm 121. For there in the first verse it says, "Unto thee lift I up mine eyes, O thou that dwellest in the heavens." And there is a lifting up of our eyes in prayer. And as the psalmist prepared these psalms by the inspiration of God the Holy Spirit, he was looking up to heaven because he knew that in heaven was the great source of his help. "My help," he says, "cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth." Now, you and I appreciate help from others. There are times in life where we really do need a helping hand. And to help one another as God's children is very valuable and it is precious. Sometimes we receive help from our families. Sometimes help from outside bodies and other people. And sometimes the Lord constrains unexpected ways of help. But the greatest help that you and I need in 2017 is the help that comes from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. Because he has all power. He is the one who created the heavens and the earth in the beginning. And he is the one who made us and formed us in our mother's wombs. He is the one who has everything at his disposal. And that intimate, perfect knowledge of all things. And as we come forward into this new year, and we perhaps have situations where we need help, yes, we are thankful for the help of our brothers and sisters in the Lord. We are thankful for help from others. But the greatest, the most helpful help comes from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. You see, if we are belonging to the Lord's people, we can say our help is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth. And we have a help that we can boast of. Sometimes some of you remark on how the Lord may have blessed you through a particular sermon or address. And that is very nice to know. But I can only say that it is the Lord who helps me to fulfill my duties. And it is the Lord who helps you to fulfill your duties in your place of work, in your home, and in your sphere of responsibility and life. Sometimes we come in times of trouble. And Psalm 46 verse 1 reminds us, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. And we know that it is through much tribulation that we shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. We know that inevitably 2017 will bring its particular troubles and trials and tribulations. What are we to do? Not to panic. Not to immediately phone up everybody in our phone book and tell them of our problem. But our best and first recourse most normally is to lift our eyes up unto heaven, from whence cometh our help. Because our help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. And God is our refuge. And God is our strength. And he is a very present help in trouble. How often the Lord can bring to mind a way forward in times of difficulty. How often his word speaks to us as we read it. And it speaks into our situation. How often the Lord can bring other people to help us at just the right time. And perhaps you, like me, can look back at particular times of trouble and difficulty. And we've prayed and we've brought our situation before the Lord. And at the right time, in his time, he has sent the help that we need. On the last Lord's Day of 2015, in the afternoon, I preached on the text, "Lord, help me." And sometimes that's perhaps all we can pray in a time of trouble and difficulty. Lord, help me. Perhaps we don't have the brain power for more than just those three simple words. But even the simple prayer, "Lord, help me," is looking up to the hills from whence comes our help. Our help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. And the Lord hears the cries of his children. We don't need to produce an eloquent, well-ordered, perfectly, grammatically correct prayer. But "Lord, help me" is one that we can pray in any situation that we find ourselves in. And the Lord who hears that prayer will send his help to us from heaven above. Lord, help me. In Psalm 18, which is a psalm of David, he said, "It is God that girdeth me with strength and maketh my way perfect." Well, not only do we need help in time of trouble, but we need help in time of prosperity, as well as help in time of adversity. It is often when we are in a time of prosperity that we can forget God, and we begin to get confidence in ourselves, and we begin to rely on ourselves instead of relying on God. And we need the Lord to help us in times of ease, as well as in times of stress. And as we go forward in this year of 2017, we must continually look up to God for help. And then thirdly, I want to notice the Lord continually keeps us individually. The Lord continually keeps us individually. In verse 3, the psalmist says, "He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber." And again, the use of this psalm as a pilgrim psalm on the way to worship in Jerusalem gives us a fitting illustration. Nowadays there are roads that lead to Jerusalem from the different sides, from the south and the west and the east. And it is easy travelling in a car. But walking would be a very different story. The ascents up to Jerusalem are steep, and if it was just a pathway through the hillside, the pathway would be stony, and if someone slipped on their way walking to Jerusalem, they could do themselves quite an injury very easily, perhaps bang their knee or hurt their arm or their wrist or something like that, or possibly even fall some way back down the hillside. But God promises he will not suffer thy foot to be moved. And if you think about it, if God does not allow our foot to be moved, then it keeps the whole of us. Because when our feet slip away from us, then we know that we will go down to the ground. Some of you play rugby at school, and you know that when you tackle someone, you get your head behind them and the shoulder in the upper part of their leg, and the idea is you take them off their feet. But God says, I will not suffer thy foot to be moved. In Proverbs 3, verses 25 and 26, Solomon, David's son, says, be not afraid of sudden fear, neither of the desolation of the wicked when it cometh, for the Lord shall be thy confidence, and shall keep thy foot from being taken. It is 100 years, of course, since the First World War was taking place. And one old member of this church was in one of the terrible battles of the First World War. His battalion was going to go over the top the next day, and there were 1,000 in his battalion. And he read those words from Psalm 91. How that the 1,000 shall fall at thy side, but it shall not come nigh thee. And at the end of that day in the battlefields of World War I, just he and one other soldier was still alive and unwounded. For him, he could truly say that he lifted up his eyes to God for help, and God did not allow his foot to be moved. And in 2017, we know that as in every other year of human history, there will be disasters, there will be accidents, there will be natural disasters, man-made disasters. There will be times of sudden fear. There will be times of desolation. But when those things come upon us, the Lord should be your confidence and my confidence. And he promises, thy foot shall not be moved. In Psalm 62, the psalmist says of God, he only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be greatly moved. God is the rock of his people. He gives us a sure foundation upon which to build our lives. And not only is he our foundation, but he is our keeper. He is our guardian. And he will protect us, and he will not suffer us to be greatly moved. Again, in Psalm 37, we read, the steps of a good man, a man who trusts in God, are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. Again, we know that in this new year, at some point there will be things that will knock you sideways, as it were. You will receive shocks and unpleasant surprises. Things you didn't expect may happen, and they will shake you, and they will perplex you. But if you are a child of God, God is holding you with his hand, the God who made heaven and earth is upholding you with his hand. And though you may be, as it were, knocked sideways by some things that happen, you shall not be utterly cast down, because God is holding your hand. And there's one other very important aspect of this truth. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. If you are in Christ, if you are trusting in him, he will keep you from falling. He will keep you from falling totally and utterly away from faith in him. Yes, there may be times when you begin to doubt. Times when faith is weaker than it should be. Times when you are tempted and you succumb to temptation. Times, I hope not, but there may be times of backsliding, when there is a protracted period of you letting go of God. But God never lets go of his children. And we sometimes remember that in the benediction from Jude. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling, and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. Faith will be tested. You will be tempted. The world will tempt you. The devil will tempt you. Your own sinful flesh will encourage you to succumb to temptation. But God, the God who never sleeps, the God who is always awake, will keep you from finally falling from faith in him. The Lord continually keeps us individually. And then fourthly, the Lord continually keeps his church. Verse 4, behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. Again, we have this truth that God is the perfect guardian. Again, to use another military analogy, throughout the centuries man has lived, there has been warfare. And sentries are often posted to guard a military camp or a military prison or some other military establishment. And throughout the times that sentries have been posted, there will have been sentries who have fallen asleep on duty, or they've been inattentive at the vital moment. But the God in heaven who keeps us individually and collectively never falls asleep. He never dozes off. He never has 40 winks. He's always awake and he's always watching. He is the perfect keeper of his people. We read, he that keepeth thee will not slumber. Here the Authorized Version comes again into its own because it shows us that it's thee, you in the singular. You personally will be kept. But the God who keeps you singularly, individually, is also the God that keepeth Israel, who keeps his church. We often think of that word of Jesus Christ, I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. But did you know in Isaiah there is a wonderful promise that the Lord will keep his church? Isaiah 27 and verse 3. In Isaiah 27 verse 3 he says, I the Lord do keep it. I will water it every moment lest any hurt it. I will keep it night and day. Sometimes it seems that he has forgotten his church and forsaken his people. But it's not true. Because he will keep his church night and day. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. We've lived through days of decline in the church. Those of us who are over 40 know that there are churches in the villages around us which were open when we were children, and they're now closed. But God has not forgotten his church. He has not abandoned his people. And we must have faith that God will still bless his church, that he will still build his church, that he will still save sinners like you and me and bring them into his people and into his family. God continually keeps his church. And as it says Israel, it reminds us of Jacob, whose name was changed to Israel. And you remember that promise in Genesis 28 that God gave to Jacob at Bethel. Behold, I am with thee and will keep thee in all places whither thou goest, and will bring thee again into this land, for I will not leave thee until I have done that which I have spoken to thee of. And God will not leave his church until he has completed building his church, and all for whom he died have been brought to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. In Deuteronomy, there is a wonderful link between the church and Jacob. Deuteronomy 32, verse 9. It says, "For the Lord's portion is his people. Jacob is the lot of his inheritance. He found him in a desert land, and in the waste howling wilderness he led him about. He instructed him. He kept him as the apple of his eye." And in these days of decline, in these days when the church is small and despised, we do well to remember that the church is the bride of Christ. She is the apple of his eye. The church is so precious to Christ. He gave his life for her. He cares for her deeply. She is so precious that she is like the tender pupil of the eye, which is so protected by the body. And I remind you again that God has promised he will bless us. He will bless the house of Israel. He will bless the house of Aaron. He will bless them that fear the Lord, both small and great. The Lord continually keeps his church. And then fifthly, the Lord is thy keeper and shade. And that is what we find in verse 5 of Psalm 121. The Lord is thy keeper, the Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. Of course, the psalmist was writing in Israel, which is a land which enjoys much longer periods of heat and summer than we do. But it can be cold at night, especially in the desert. And he says God will shade us and shield us and protect us. Like a hen gathers her brood of chicks under her wings. That is what God does to his people and to his church. And he will shade and shield us from the heat and the cold. We think of the heat of affliction, the cold of disappointment and shock. And God will shade us from those things. And surely this verse, this fifth verse, is also speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ. That he is a shade to his people from the wrath of God for sin. In Isaiah 32 we read, "And a man shall be as an hiding place from the wind, and a covert from the tempest, as rivers of water in a dry place, as the shadow of a great rock in a weary land." Christ puts himself forward. He's not gone to heaven for a rest. He's there working for his people, and he's interceding on their behalf. He's representing their prayers and their case and their cause to God. And he's working all the time to build and to protect his church. Christ is our keeper and shade. And he's thy shade upon thy right hand. It speaks of a God near at hand. When we want help, we want help that's close at hand. Sometimes we are parted from our families and our loved ones. I can't help my wife when I'm in India or Nepal or in America, but someone else near at hand can. And this verse reminds us that God is near at hand. Psalm 109 says, "For he shall stand at the right hand of the poor, to save him from those that condemn his soul." And in Psalm 91, "He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty." And this is one of the glorious truths about the God of the Christian, the true living God, the creator of the heavens and the earth. He's a God near at hand. We only have to cry, to speak, to sigh, to pray, and he's with us, and he's there to help us and to shadow us. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. We have a God who keeps us from dangers in the daytime and during the night time as well. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day. You and I travel in our cars very often each day. We need the Lord's hand to keep us safe. Every year, hundreds of people die on the roads of Britain or are injured. What about the night time? That is a time when there can be dangers in our town centres and when thieves break in and steal. But God says, the sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. Sometimes you may be afraid of the dark. You have bad dreams. Or you wake up at night and you're shivering and shaking because of some bad dream. God is there with his people in the night time as well as the daytime. He preserves us from dangers all through the day. There is a story of a girl in a storm on a ship crossing the Atlantic in the 19th century. They were coming back, I think, from the United States of America to England. And suddenly a tremendous squall blew up. Unexpectedly, the ship was knocked on its side. And the little girl and those in her cabin with her were deposited on the floor out of their beds. And all the crockery and luggage and everything was crashing around. And it was a great upset. Many people were terrified at what had happened. How the sea had suddenly become tempestuous out of nothing. But the little girl's father was captain of the ship. And as she was startled awake, she looked at her mother and she said, "Is Dad on the deck of the ship?" And her mother said, "Yes." And so the little girl said, "Well, everything will be all right." And she closed her eyes and went back to sleep. Sudden storms may arise. A phone call at night. An accident in the daytime. A problem at any time of the day. But remember that Christ is the pilot of your life. If you are trusting in him. And that means you are safe for time and for eternity. And then finally, sixthly, the Lord is thy keeper in all situations. Psalmist says, the Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. Sometimes in a legal document you may have a list of different situations that apply to this legal document. And then there may be a catch-all phrase which says, and any other eventuality. And we've seen how God will not suffer our foot to be moved. He will keep us individually. He will keep his church. He'll be our shade upon our right hand. The sun won't smite us by day, nor the moon by night. But just in case we think there would be some situation that God cannot keep us in, the word of God says, the Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. At a certain point in the year, I was reminded by a fellow minister in 2016. He wrote to me to encourage me. He said, and he quoted the words that we find in Job, he shall deliver thee in six troubles, yea, in seven, there shall no evil touch thee. And troubles do come along, like London buses in threes or more. But there will not be a trouble that arrives, which the Lord will not preserve thee amidst. God is able to preserve us not only in six or seven troubles, but in eight and nine and beyond. He shall preserve thee from all kinds of evil, all forms of evil. And evil comes in many shapes and sizes and guises. But God promises that he is your keeper in every situation. As we think of this time of year of the birth of Christ, let us remember, God is with his people. Behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. And we know also that God has sent his Holy Spirit to be our guide and our comforter, to instruct us in the truth and of righteousness and of judgment to come. And we can say that it is the prayerful desire of God the Son, the commitment of God the Father, and the work of the Holy Spirit that we should be preserved from all evil. You remember the high priestly prayer of the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, "While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gavest me, I have kept. And none of them is lost but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled." And then what does he pray for his people, for his disciples, for his children through all ages? "I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil." The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil is not just some theoretical truth to admire. It is a truth to cling to, a promise to hold on to, and it is the prayer of the Lord Jesus Christ himself for every one of you who trusts in his name. And notice that it's not just for your body, but for your soul also. Because in the final half of verse 7, he shall preserve thy soul. The Lord will keep your soul and preserve it. Remember those wonderful words of the Lord Jesus Christ in John chapter 10. "And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand." Child of God, you're in Christ's hand, you're in God the Father's hand. No one can prize you out of the grip of the Lord Jesus and his Father. And nothing can separate you from the love of God. He preserves the soul of his saints actively, proactively, continually, and completely, successfully. The Lord is thy keeper in all situations. And that extends in verse 8, "The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth and even forevermore." When you go out to work in the morning, and when you return home in the evening, when you go to visit your family at different times of the day, when you go on your holidays, on business travel, out to the shops, the Lord promises that he shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in. You see, these are times of particular vulnerability. We have a measure of safety in our homes. But when we leave our homes and we go elsewhere, there are more dangers perhaps. And in some countries, to leave your home and to leave the safety of your village, you can be in great danger. But God promises that when you go out and in, when you experience times of change, when you change jobs, when you change schools, when you change to go to university, whatever change it may be in which you're going out and coming in, he says, "I will preserve thy going out and thy coming in." We have again that wonderful promise in the book of Proverbs. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. The Lord is with us on the journey of life, and not only in this life, but notice at the close of the psalm, from this time forth and even forevermore. Who are you? Who are you? Are you a child of God? Are you trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ? Well, if you are, then you are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. The keeping power of God is not only for this life, but through all eternity. And he will even keep us when we are in heaven's bright world, where there is no danger, no sorrow, no tears, and no suffering. As we go forward into this new week, this new month, this new year, do you have the Lord going with you? That is what you need. The Lord at your right hand to watch over you, to preserve you from all evil, and to lead you safely on to eternity. Amen.